This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lindmark, Julian Ng and Sharit Abdullah. It is Wednesday, the 19th of June, and we're midway through the week. So just two more days until the weekend, guys.
Nice.
Excellent.
Are you already planning or still immersed in the work?
Actually, I'm always planning for the weekend.
Likewise,
even on even on Sunday, I plan for the next weekend.
Where do you find the time? I wish I could do the same, honestly.
But yeah, so this is in the meantime, we have lots of fascinating discussions.
Right.
So we're going to be talking about lots of interesting things, and I do think CGPA is one of them, isn't it, Julian?
Yes, it is. We're looking at youth unemployment rates in Malaysia, which is about 10%, and that's three times the normal unemployment rate. And basically, we're asking whether if you have good scores, CGPA scores, whether that will guarantee you a job.
Right. And then also, we're going to speak about something that we feel on a daily basis, which is the temperature. Are you unhappy with it? So we're going to talk about how your productivity is related to how cold and warm your office temperature is, and why is it worth it to complain about it till you get it right.
And as always, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Please do let us know what you think about the topics we'll be discussing, because we'll take a look at some messages throughout the show. But first up next, we're going to be talking about emojis and why we use them. Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Sharitz. Now, I think we've all been guilty of sending an emoji when we can't be bothered to actually answer with words over text. Well, Suzanne Moore of The Guardian says, "I'm not six. Send help. Send words." She thinks it's a bit of a juvenile practice. And it's interesting because basically emoticons became big in the 90s with instant messaging. And since then, they've become a very common shorthand for universal emotion. But have they then become a crutch? I admit that I use them. Sometimes I abuse them. But I feel like it kind of prevents me from being misconstrued over text. So I happily embrace the emoji life. What about you?
I agree with you. I think while I agree that it can be quite infantile and quite kiddie to use as an adult, a full grown adult, to use all these emojis, right? But I think they're essential to communication, because I think tech is all about emulating a real life face to face interaction, right? And without that, some of the words that we use would seem quite cold. For example, "see you later." With a full stop would be one step worse. And without an emoji, it'd be totally naked. That's devoid of emotion, right? So "see you later" with an emoji will convey that you are looking forward to that, right? And it happens with businesses, I guess, business in a business setting, where a lot of the communication is very cold. So we want to sort of lighten that with our true emotions, I guess. And I think emojis have a place.
Yeah, so I relate to that as well, Julian. I mean, when you talk about communications with regards to work, and sometimes you come across with a lot of new people, especially if you're in the marketing field. And there's, emoji has been one of those functional items that could sort of break the ice, just to break that formality. You know, if you were to just send, words or two, it just makes that whole relationship, like you said, cold. So it's just good to just place something, a smiley face, and then eventually, everybody just breaks out into a smile.
So I'm going to throw my father under the bus here, because he is one of those people who has a very curt texting style. And he has texted me multiple times, just two words, "call me" with a full stop. And I panic, okay, because I think, is there an emergency?
Exactly.
What's going on? Are you angry? Have I done something wrong? And then I call him, and it's just, "oh, hey, did you see this really interesting article?" And I'm like, "No, Dad, you should have somehow indicated to me that you were not actually angry at me." And I think that's where emojis could definitely have a place, particularly as well in social communication. I do think there was some research, a survey done a little while back that showed women were more tended to use emojis, smiley faces, very emotive language in business communication more than men. And I think that at the time was theorized because women tend to be more wary of being viewed as very, very strict, very cold, because that's one of the accusations leveled at strong women in the workplace. So women layer their emails, for example, with a smiley face in order to seem less threatening overall.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. And if anything, it does reflect this bigger problem that we have today, because we are just communicating through our phones, through WhatsApp, and we are talking less. At least I feel we're not talking as much as we did before. And if there is a criticism against emojis, that would be it, right? Mm-hmm. There is this concern that we have lost the art of conversation, and that's important because layering a conversation is very important, and that takes too much time in a business setting. Mm-hmm. So we raise productivity levels by having a very shortcut sentence and ending it with an emoji. But does that take away our skill at conversing?
Yeah.
You know, that's a concern.
Mm. And I think we're not the only one who's taking this seriously. Like tech companies, I mean, they recognize the importance of how to sort of humanize conversation via phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, they, for an example, take iPhone. They've invested invested quite a lot in just trying to improve emoji and introduce something called Animojis, where you can record your face and they'll turn your face into a cartoon and evolution. So
I think that's quite an interesting development, actually, because there has been a criticism of emojis as being, you know, overused blanket kind of almost a filler text, you could say. So the Animojis, the ones that have been personalized, you actually put a little cartoon of your face on them. So
they turn it into a GIF, right?
Some of them, yes.
Yeah.
I've done that, I think.
Really, Julian?
Yeah. Hey, but I, you know, I remember this episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you guys seen that? It's like, it's so funny.
I think so, yeah.
It's very cringeworthy when you watch it. But there was this episode where instead of laughing, this woman just went LOL, right? And it becomes very contrived and derivative because you can just laugh instead of saying LOL. So I think like we have sometimes come to a stage where we use emoji as a way to express ourselves. For example, saying
smiley face,
right? Yeah. Smiley face emoji. And I find that very, very unnatural. So this is where emoji is creeping into real life, right? That's kind of scary.
I feel slightly attacked here, Julian, because I think I've done all of those things that you described in an actual conversation. But wait, I would actually like to see these Animojis that you say you've created. You moved past them very fast, but you should definitely send some
around. I'll try to dig them out and show them to you.
Yeah, but you have to probably upgrade your iPhone first. But just a disclaimer, do not watch the Emoji Movie, though. That is horrible. I have seen that with my kids.
I can't even think why you even gave that, PSA.
I've got kids. Okay. They watch it and I have to sit down with them. But anyway, don't watch it. It's horrible.
Okay. Well, let us know what you think. Why do you use emojis? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with more discussions after a couple of messages, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Grace for Saints and Ramblers by Iron and Wine. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Sharon. Now, if you've ever been engaged in a battle for the office aircon remote, you're not alone. It's always a challenge to find the optimum temperature for a workplace because what is comfortable is subjective. So there's some findings from a survey at the University of South California that find that actually there is a correlation between temperatures and how we maximize our productivity, because women performed better at temperatures between 21 and 27 degrees Celsius, whereas men performed better at temperatures below 21 degrees Celsius. So just looking at my dear colleagues in the studio today, Julian and Sharitz, do you find that this is the case? Do you work better at temperatures below 21 degrees?
I tend to be more comfortable in an environment that's not too cold. Mm-hmm. I would dispute some of those recommendations from the surveys and findings. I blame this all on a very westernized dress code, right? Because we are coming into work, a lot of us still are, with ties and shirts and sometimes even jackets, which is ridiculous in our climate. So we got to change it to something that's more Malaysian and Asian. I don't mind it if we had a formalized I don't know, sarong or batik or something, or even the good old t-shirts, right? I think Uniqlo and the globalization of how we dress, you know, has done something good for us. Go in a t-shirt, and then secondly, the environment, right? We got to think about that because to set the temperature at almost Arctic levels in the office, I don't think that makes sense at all.
I will vote for you for, you know, to be a Minister of Human Resources just for that statement of, you know, suggesting sarong.
I don't think that is even a job that I would want.
For suggesting sarong at the workplace, that would be great for the visuals as well as, you know, for the comfort level.
So when did we give up the sarong, right? Us in Malaysians, for example, the people in the kampung, right? Orang Putih Matsalis came over and then we saw the need to don our jackets and our ties.
Right. Even worse, they incorporate that. They fuse that, and some people wear jacket while wearing sarong
and a jacket.
Yeah, I've never seen that in practice. Really?
Yeah, I think in Indonesia you could see quite a number of them. I mean, people put on those, and in Myanmar as well, because sarong in Myanmar is, you know, there you go. They don't let go of that.
But I think the relaxation of dress codes in quite a lot of workplaces now does allow for you to layer, right? So if you find an environment too cold for you, bring a jacket, bring a scarf. As you can tell, that I always have multiple extremely large scarves that double as basically blankets in the office.
See, that's the problem with our society, because many of the issues are systemic, right? You're just merely responding to a structural systemic problem. Why don't we go to where the problem is and change it? Why do we design our buildings in such a way where we're not insulated from the heat and we have all these glass and steel structures around town that would require a cooling down by air conditioning system? Why don't we design something else that actually turns this on its head?
Yeah, so like in Spain, I mean, they have siesta, and that's working around, you know, the weather that they have, which is, I don't know if it's similar, but it's like it can get extremely hot in the afternoon. You know, just going along what you said, I remember Tun Mahathir suggesting that, you know, farmers should work during night times and LED lights just to lighten up their workplace.
And that's an idea.
And that's, you know, one of the reasons was definitely heat, because working, you know, at the farm in the paddy field during the day is unbearable.
Or you could don a hat or something.
Yeah, I think with regards to architecture, there is definitely a move towards trying to incorporate natural cooling systems into buildings that are being built more recently. I mean, our own office building, for example, Manarakan, has an air well in the center of the building, and that is supposed to function as a natural cooling system because it funnels
and yet it's freezing in here.
I mean, there is a reason why the studios are cold, because we have servers that are running 24/7. So that I think doesn't count, but I think that this is something that is trying, it's slowly being addressed with modern architecture, but it's, I think the problem more is with older buildings that we still have, and heritage sites particularly. These are buildings that you can't necessarily tear down and rebuild in a day, so
obviously,
you have to find management solutions to work around. There are
many, many new buildings in town that still subscribe to that notion of a globalized architecture, you know, that requires a lot of these heating systems. On the other hand, I know that there are also green standards coming into building, right?
Yeah, the Green Building Index.
They're imposing that kind of thing. But I don't know whether it helps the air conditioning situation in the offices around town, right? The other thing is, you know, when you guys go to bed, how do you sort of cuddle up, right? I know of people who, like, just turn the aircon down to 16 degrees or whatever minimum that the aircon goes down to, and then they just use this very thick duvet and you know, cover themselves. Like, okay, that's a really roundabout way of cooling yourself down.
I admittedly do this. I don't know why. Because I find that it's more comfortable to be cold, and then you can layer yourself to reach that optimum temperature, and it's a lot easier than being too warm. Because if you're too warm, there's nothing you can do about it, really.
Yeah, well, I think it's also the weight of the duvet, isn't it, that people go for it?
It's a comfort situation. It's
a cocoon. Apparently, that is a sleeping tool nowadays, a weighted blanket in order to help you sleep better, because maybe it feels like your duvet is giving you a hug.
Oh, yeah, or you're back into your mother's womb or something.
Yeah, but actually, I think you guys should try this out, right? Because the natural environment in Malaysia is very conducive. If you switch off the aircon and you lighten up your sleep attire, like almost maybe not wear anything, The natural environment is very conducive. That's very nice.
It is. I mean, and that's why I do love talking about, I do love speaking about the weather. You know, there are days, there are nights when it's much cooler than other. And you save a lot because 30 or 40% of my electricity bill comes from the aircon. And honestly, on days that I don't have to switch it on, I could definitely see a difference and I get to buy other things.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Do temperatures affect your productivity? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up on the 6:30 news and then more interesting discussions on CGPAs. But first, More Than a Feeling by Boston, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Friday, I'm in Love by The Cure. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Sharitz Abdullah. Now, there's an interesting article in the Rakyat Post highlighting a Twitter discussion that's been happening recently. And it's over the relationship between CGPAs and job opportunities. Now, it started with one user who tweeted that he'd never hire someone who had a low CGPA and feels that they shouldn't be judged by it because he said it shows a lack of accountability. And I don't necessarily think that a low CGPA automatically implies that you did something terrible, that you didn't study hard for it. I think that there are other factors to be considered when it comes to why you received the mark that you did. But I guess CGPA is one of those things that it gets you through the door first, right?
Yeah, I think it's a kind of filter to reflect whether you have the discipline to carry out your studies, and which may be important for project management, for example, whether you are methodical in your ways. But I agree that it does not reflect ability or talent or anything like that. I guess it's something that, for the lack of anything else, that employers use. But I think one factor that explains the high unemployment is that the country is going through some tough times as well, not only the country but globally as well, and that makes it difficult for our youths to find jobs. For example, in Europe, I'm not sure whether my figures are still correct, but youth unemployment there is much higher than the 10% that we see quoted here. I think it's to the extent of 20% or thereabout. So it's a global phenomenon.
Yeah, so I mean, my understanding of CGPA is a cumulative sort of GPA over the course.
A grade point average,
a grade point average over the course of when you start studying. And it is a measurement system. It is a type of measurement system. And I think, and like any measurement, it tells you, it gives you an information and tells you where you are at with regards to, you know, what you're doing. And so in that sense, there is an, you know, once you graduate and if you do have a low CGPA, it tells you that, to an employer, in the perspective of an employer, it says that, okay, you don't have this right set of skills to do certain things, for an example. But if, you know, as a person who is doing those exams, you know, during those first year when you start, when you don't start doing well, first, second year, it should start telling you, it should give you a signal. I say, hey, look, this may not be the right fit or course for me. And that's been, at least my contention with all this is that our education system has been that sort of one-size-fit-all kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there are those who just don't belong in that sort of environment. Mm-hmm. For an example, science stream and so forth. There are those who are more vocational, for an example.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my thing, I guess.
Yeah, standardized testing has its pros and cons, right? Because on the one hand, it is easier to administer to a wider population.
That's right.
But on the other hand, you are alienating those kids who may not necessarily do better on exams. Some children may do better on projects that have a slightly longer term view that they can take over a longer period of time. I think here what is the difficulty? I think you brought up an interesting point, Julian, which is that this is why we're seeing such high unemployment rate in this country. And the thing is, it's funny, isn't it? Because we have seen the labor force. We've seen such high unemployment in graduates, but our jobs are actually growing. And that's because we are seeing job growth in sectors that don't necessarily require a degree. So we are finding that we have this glut of graduates who can't find jobs. And at the same time, we have a very high demand for blue-collar workers. And that's where the disconnect is happening here.
Yeah, that's right. We have a dependency on foreign workers. Our factories are filled with them. Our palm oil plantations are, and our restaurants are filled with immigrant workers, which is a kind of sugar rush, sugar addiction, you know, that the government is trying to get rid of, this addiction to foreign labor. And that's because Malaysians don't want to take up those jobs, and that's fair enough because you want to do something that fulfills you sometimes. But I think in the short term, you might want to do something that would just tie you over the hard times. And also this whole idea of the gig economy that's coming up, that's up and coming, and perhaps that may be the answer to the future. I mean, you just be your own boss and do what fits you best.
But I think it also reflects Malaysia's just general, the fact that we are slow to move up the value chain in terms of in terms of production, right? So we are still have very highly dependent on manual labor in factories, for example, rather than shifting towards higher skilled, fewer numbers of people, but with a higher quality set of skills. And I think that this is something that the government is working towards, but whether or not that will come in time to help the current glut of graduates who can't seem to find a job opportunity, that is the real issue at the present time. And when it comes to CGPAs, I think there is definitely a discussion to be had over the fact that, you know, CGPAs aren't the be-all and end-all of an indication as to whether or not you will be good at a job. Essentially, most people will say, no, it's your work ethic and how you approach an opportunity. But the fact is that the CGPA is what someone will look at initially in order to see what stands out in terms of the 30 CVs that they've gotten. And that is how you get through the door. And actually, interestingly, there were some other people who responded to the original tweet to say that they have called in people with low CGPAs because they want to know why they got that low CGPA. So even if you don't get a good mark, it's also how you talk about it and how you explain it to your interviewer that is important.
Yeah, I think that's a very relevant question. It could be that your productivity was very low because you had family problems, and again, it's very structural. You know, your family background, your social mobility has an impact on your scores.
Yeah, and just about being human as well. Sometimes you decide to play around when you're in school, but actually, it doesn't reflect on who you really are. Once you're good, once you're done, and you know you're
that's
ready
like
to go.
That's like speaking from experience.
And once you're ready to take on a job, you start getting all serious. But you got to work hard for it. Like you said, there's always a second chance, maybe internship or something. Mm-hmm. You know, just to build up again that experience and to convince people to hire you.
All right, let us know what you think. Does a high CGPA matter? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of messages coming up after this, and then we'll take a look at what you've said. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was September by Earth, Wind and Fire, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Sharitz Abdullah. Now, we've been having lots of interesting discussions this morning. We've talked about why we use emojis, temperatures in the office, as well as whether a high CGPA correlates to better job opportunities. Thank you very much for your tweets and WhatsApps. We have a tweet from K.A. Raman Ardiakam who says, cold is stress, makes me sick. And that was, I think, in response to the office temperature discussion. I'd find that I get more stressed in hot temperatures because I prefer to layer and just generally be freezing.
Yeah, you can control that. Whereas in hot temperature, there's nothing much you can do about it without flouting decency laws. But, you know, I agree that part about being sick because in the past, air conditioning can carry diseases as well, Legionnaire's disease and so on. But I think today it would be slightly more hygienic.
Because it's
slightly.
Recycled air, isn't it? I mean, something like that.
Yeah.
At the same time, so we got a WhatsApp from Paul Savari. Thanks, Paul. Now, he's saying that graduates has another, this is with regards to our discussion about CGPA. He's saying that graduates has another challenge, which is the artificial intelligence. Very relevant.
Yeah, I think because we are in the age where technology is moving so fast that actually we are seeing this phenomenon of new jobs being created that graduates may not necessarily have the skills to address yet, especially recent graduates who have not had the benefit of this technical education filtering down into the wider overall system. So that's definitely going to be a challenge that is going to have to be addressed.
And I think that AI is not just replacing, destroying jobs of the future. AI is actually, or a robot or whatever you want to call it, that space of digital advancements just displacing old ways of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. Making a lot of the graduates, old degrees, quite redundant.
Yeah, so yeah, I
because
mean,
they don't ask for sick leave, they don't go for tea breaks, toilet breaks. You know, they can do things so much more efficiently.
Yeah, and they create this new type of jobs, which I think calls for, you know, a revamp on our education system, something to prepare us over for the future. We got a WhatsApp from Jeev. Now he, you know, when he was a grade three student, he. Grade three student, but I passed the exam given by a certain bank, second highest in its record, which left them wondering how I did it, looking at my SPM results. So how we score in school, college and university may not exactly be the same.
Yes, we also have a WhatsApp from Gary on the same subject that says, I've interviewed kids with high CGPAs before that came in with a list of demands. Very arrogant, didn't hire them.
Well... that's what capitalism is made up of, right? I'm sure that the businesses also have their demands, i.e. the pricing of their goods and services that they demand from the public. And therefore, when you look for talent and skill, you've got to pay for it, I think.
Ooh, interesting. Another one is WhatsApp from Anne Lau. Now, she's saying that I've had friends who did not do well in school, now flourishing as a world-class movie director. So CGPA is not everything.
Yeah, so, I think that's essentially it, right? Sometimes when it comes to standardized testing, we're forcing these children to essentially fit into a box, and it may not necessarily be that box is the best place for them. So it's only once they go out there into the wider world and see lots of different opportunities awaiting that they can actually find what they're good at.
That's right. Yeah. And one interesting WhatsApp from Hassan. Now, temperature does affect your productivity. In what way? Well, he says that it makes you go to the toilet like it's nobody's business. So that's productivity time. For some reason, I can relate to that, Hassan.
Well, thank you so much for your WhatsApps and tweets this morning. We've had lots of interesting discussions, and we'll have more after the 7 o'clock news when we enter the business end of the morning run. So be sure to stay tuned for that. But first, 1979 by Smashing Pumpkins. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.